Chairman Brad Holt.
As Chairman Brad Holt, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 10:30 agenda item, meeting with DSD staff for a general update, general business. President is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, and with that, I'll hand it over to Jay or whoever wants to take it.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, appreciate the opportunity to be here today. As promised previously, today we wanted to come somewhat high-level discussion on a comp plan replacement process. I've put a group, or we have assembled a group in DSD to look into our thoughts and on process as well as specifics in a comp plan process. And we want to make sure, since it's election season and Commissioner Holton has gone on the record and as well as Commissioner Brooks about the wishes to start a replacement process for a comp plan. As you know, it's a 2030 plan. It hasn't been implemented to date. We considered doing an implementation plan, budgeted for said effort. But at this point, asking a consultant to come in and review somebody else's intent on the current plan that they weren't involved with and are seeing for the first time, how do we get to a true implementation plan and then turn around in 2 years and or less and start a new process? As you have indicated, and we concur, let's just do this one time and let's do it right. I would like to put a scope of work together to replace the comp plan and have a consultant on board to help steer that effort and provide the support that we can, our department is integral to our staff to participate in that process and help and put things together and assemble information for the effort. But writing the comp plan, you get what you pay for. If we do it in-house like the last time, you get what you pay for. We would just as soon utilize the budget that we set aside in 2026 to start that effort. And I plan in the next couple of weeks, I have a couple meetings with some consultants in the Valley that I know have done a lot of comp planning in the past and recent past to have them help me come up with basically, I would sit down with a potential scope and say, okay, what kind of budget do we need to put together? And this year's budget we can get so far, and then through the budget process, which is about to start, then we can supplant that that cost with a request for the coming to finish it before the end of the year or at the end of the year in next fiscal year's budget. So it splits it up over 2 years' budgets, which is a positive. So this year I budgeted roughly 75 for comp plan, 35 for ordinance update assistance, and 15 for community engagement facilitation, which all falls into the realm of comp plan process. That's about $125,000. And that's a pretty good start. I would like to have an RFP out on the street in about a month's time at the most, and potentially have a consultant on board in May. That gives us 5 months to go hard and heavy and get as far as we can before the new fiscal year starts. And we complete it after the 1st of October. I think that puts us in a good position to have time to elicit public interaction. We received a lot of interaction through our administrative Landis Division outreach, as well as our outreach for when we started an implementation plan process, but also we've done some surveys, we've done some in-person meetings. We have a lot of input to add to the effort. I think that those will lend it to this effort very well. What we would like to know, because it is about to be election season, and we want to make sure you're on board with really going forward publicly with this process, so. It'll probably be an election topic, but we want to be on board and we want to be above board so that it's a positive campaign element.
I also want to add to that a little bit. The purpose of that memo is to let you know where we think we stand right now, and there's a series of questions at the end. That is to assist you with advising us on scope. That's the purpose of the memo. It's not to guide you one way or another. There are considerations for the comp plan.
The biggest thing that we see is its land use chapter that really needs some serious work and more definition. A lot of the other chapters are, you know, resource or statistics that can be updated, but those are not the meat of what the land use section really revolves around.
Yeah, Chairman.
All of our efforts fall into that category, so we're going to concentrate on that heavily.
And I want to just put on the record that if this is an awesome team that we have in development services, the level of expertise and education leading the charge for developing long-range plans for how what Canyon County will look like for the future. That is an amazing team. It's a very different dynamic that was in place with not only the board structure, but the leadership structure and development services. So the coordinated effort, I think when we're talking about the public perception, that to stop deliberating in land use hearings on the interpretation or what has teeth, or what hasn't been implemented, or where there should be an overlay or a sub-area plan, or what's really intensive ag. Those are battles that we're facing because a plan was passed that was incomplete. And I don't want to be, did the old plan need updated? Yes, I used the old plan in land use hearings. It needed expanded from 2011 when that was adopted until the time that it got readopted 11 years later. A lot had changed in Canyon County, so there was a need for public input and to look at the areas of growth and change that were happening. However, as the director indicated, there were a lot of different authors, there was turnover, there was a lack of consistency, there was not a shared vision. And when you turn that around and you say that we have that kind of collaborative effort helping to guide growth in Canyon County, I don't care if we're on the ballot or not. That's a win for everybody. And the partnership that we've established with the cities to align the goals, to look at what we find important to protect, to make Canyon County, Canyon County, all of those things should be looked at by the public. I don't think I heard anywhere in here that we're discounting the public input. I think we're looking at how to augment what needs to be done. That's now 6 years ago that we had the comprehensive plan meetings with the public. Even in 6 years, things have changed a lot. They're rapidly changing. That climate out there is not the same. It's very dynamic. So I might suggest that in this kind of an environment where Idaho continues to experience exponential growth, that 5 years in looking at the plan, are we meeting our objectives? We met yesterday with fire districts for impact fees. Those are 1 year. So in this climate, I think it's a really positive win for the board and DSD to work in tandem with our public sector to say, where are we at? How are we doing? Let's refine, define, clean up, and put something in place that's actually usable. I like rules and policies and guidebooks, and the one that's in place is, it is difficult enough to navigate that it's cumbersome. It needs to be pared down and get the items in there for goals, policies, and actions that are not achievable or not relevant out, and to put things in that we can actually wrap our hands around. There's a lot of things you work in tandem with parks to have that put into place. There's plans that need adopted. That needs to be the focus, not the deliberation and a public hearing on how to use a document that's not usable.
If I could tag on to that, really, when you're looking at that memo and you're coming back to talk to us, really think through, do you, like, for instance, would you like this more vertically integrated, if you will, there's the policy level of the comp plan, and then the implication of that policy is, looking at our ordinance, this needs to change so that right on the heels of that, we have a work plan. There's a lot of different approaches there, and they have different levels of work from both us or a consultant. So really broaden, have a very open mind outside the box, however you want to put that.
What I would like, and we've discussed before, as part of this effort is actually have an implementation plan created at the same time as being part of the comp plan, and follow that up with ordinance work so that when we bring the comp plan before you for adoption, we have ordinances going forward at the same time that implements that plan and a timeline that we're going to continue that so that we can get the plan fully implemented in a short period of time instead of, well, we'll get to it one of these days.
Yeah. I would really appreciate to have that because my observation of the public, and I'm talking the general public, not the few people out of our less than 300,000 people who choose to come to a public hearing, but the people's opinion of a comp plan and what it is and what it does is really flawed. And so I would really advocate that we attempt to do the heavy lifting and have the existing land use ordinances that reference to the general areas and then do the red strike through of what we don't like and what we are proposing to modify with this new comprehensive plan. Do the whole enchilada at once. And I think that is to me, that's the most fair way to show the public the direction and where we need to be to save. As an example, as a flying flag example, we have people who split off ground and then they determine an ag-only parcel. I'm going to use my words carefully. That is the product of a male animal's stuff because the majority of those parcels that are carved out and termed as ag use only are just there for a very brief period of time till they're starting to split those up too. So the public has this perception that, yeah, it's okay that this property owner decided to carve out some of their building permits. And, oh, they're such heroes because they're going to save it off as an ag-only parcel. Bunk. They're being consumed as fast as the others. And so that, to me, is a bait and switch on the public that, in my humble opinion, needs to be stopped. I don't care what they call it, but it isn't an ag use only parcel. It's just kind of set it aside for a few months or a year till I come back and have a complete new plan to divide all of that up to.
Right.
And so the preservation of farmland, I would encourage the public to get involved with that because that has currently has a really nasty bait and switch component in it that the general public is not aware of, and that we need to look at as a county and decide what we're doing.
I've got two comments about that.
Yes.
The first statement that you made about people have one idea of what a comp plan is, I'm going to give you homework. Apologize. I think next time we meet, answer the question of, I think a comp plan is, because that's really going to help us a lot. You tell me what you think a comp plan is. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just what you guys think that's for and what that is. And then my other thing is, one reason I'm here, and I apologize, I have to leave at 11:15 for something else. I apologize. Doesn't mean I'm disgusted with the board or anything. What I want to convey to you is we're getting near our limit as far as what DSD and specifically the planning group can handle because we've got land division and that's going to, when we start the public hearing process on that, there's a lot of things that could happen with that. We may need to pivot, and it could take a fair amount of time and from, I mean, just raw time, but also staff time to get that through. The staff report's going to need to be a department statement on that, so it's not just one staff member writing that. On top of that, there is this effort, which is going to consume a fair amount of time. And we've also heard the land use matrix, looking at secondary residences. Am I forgetting?
Versus ADUs.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to get to a point where there's got to be a prioritization of these things. So I'm hearing comp plan a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
So is it fair to say that's the priority after land division is done?
Yeah.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good segue to my overarching question about the role of the consultant and like what do you envision them actually doing? I guess having not been through this before and not having a consultant as a part of it, I'm just curious, like, how does someone come in that is not in it every day like you guys are and have a clue of how to put this together? Are they simply gathering the information and then compiling and writing it out for us as the consultant? I don't know what they do, so help me out.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, when we hire a consultant to write a comp plan for us, it's basically, we're relying on their expertise. Most of these people have been in these roles with different jurisdictions over a number of years. The ones that I'm talking to have been specifically. They also are adept at taking community input and figuring out how to write the text of the comp plan and assemble all that information, distill it out into the fabric of the community that we're all been anxious to figure out what we really need to address in that regard. And all those things together, relying on a qualified consultant, they're gonna lead the charge, and we're gonna rely on them, though we are gonna staff public meetings. We are gonna provide feedback between you all and the consultant, basically, and the community, but they know how to get people to show up or find places. They're gonna facilitate a lot of things from community input. Could be surveys, could be in person input meetings, and update what they're hearing at other meetings to the community. So it's not one sided. Kind of like this one seemed to be from the statistics that I looked at, which has always been troubling. But we hire them to do the heavy lifting on this whole effort, and we're augmenting their efforts with staff assistance in order to, you know, to have enough folks to take input and advise them on you know, what they're hearing, why they're hearing it, or where the go-between with you.
Chairman, I want to provide a little bit of input to it just to help Commissioner Brooks where he didn't go through that last process. But I think one of the biggest things that you hit on was objectivity, having someone without a bias. There was solicited input from a group that sent out postcards, and it felt like, even to me as a leading question, it asked for something, but in a way that was, they had a purpose. Pardon me?
They were leading questions.
Yes, correct. And so what we need to do is let this team, given what Assistant Director Johnson said, let our people do what they do well and let the consultant do the heavy lift, and it will ensure that we have a process that creates a guiding document with a vision for the future that knows how to write all that instead of one person authoring or three or four or more people. He'll be an anchor and a constant. That's a really sense of the word is the consultant. What should this look like? Because he will have had a myriad of experience that gives him the expertise to do that. I think if we had had a consultant last time, we should have just hit the bullet, spent the money, and it invoked some of that help. But again, without this team in place, without the board to help oversee and overcome some of that, I think it's, I wouldn't suggest doing this without a consultant. That's where I'm at. I think this is the right process, and the allocation of dollars to support that is going to clean up a lot of that mess and still keep our team moving forward with land use decisions. We don't want to go backwards on where we're at with keeping the backlog cleaned out. That was problematic for the public. So this is a great process to, and your networking connections, I'm confident you'll come up with someone that will lead that section of the comprehensive plan revamp in a good way.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, what I will say to put a little more precision, I think, to your question as well, is when I've worked with a consultant on a comp plan, they put together a project management plan. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start here. This is what they're going to do. This is what we're going to do. But even more precisely is they're going to look at the public input. They're going to look at the facts, and they're going to draft language that folks in our office are going to check. And ultimately, that will be a part of a public process as a third and fourth check. Because to me, originating a policy level document with policy language is more of a lift for our staff than editing it. Because the folks in our staff, we've got a few folks that have worked in our office, and they live here, more importantly, and they're going to be able to go, hey, you know, this is probably off base with based on our interactions with the public through our current planning. That's going to be an important overall. And what Commissioner Van Beek said, we've got to keep our eyes, we've got to keep an awareness of current planning as well, because we can't just take our 9 planners and completely shift gears to a comp plan and put everything else on pause. Mm-hmm.
We end up with a backlog again, and we are not going there.
We're not doing that again.
Nope.
Well, they may not.
The process is that you all can participate in that.
And that's where the expertise of the consultant would come in. The planners need to keep doing what they're plugged in to do. They may or may not have the expertise, and then you get back to, well, there's 8 different authors in this, and nobody. It's like herding cats.
It's also a chance to develop our staff. We've got a few new planners that have never been through this. It helps, and to me, if I'm wanting to work somewhere, if I get to do this sort of work, it's a bonus, it's an add. So there's a lot going on with this that I think is a positive.
Nice.
I think for the public, I concur with Commissioner Brooks' concern. I'm not interested in a consultant that is driving it towards a specific direction. I believe that Jay is going to look for somebody like that. He's going to look for the opposite, that's going to try to get us to a conclusion instead of lead us to a conclusion that consultant already has before he comes in. I think for the public, wake up, find out what this really should look like compared to the 2030 plan. It's going to be somewhat different. It isn't going to be the tail wagging the dog. It's going to be Canyon County trying to figure out what's best for Canyon County. And several of the parties are going to adamantly disagree with each other. And that's okay. That's in the public forum. But it's not going to be a monolithic, let's shove it through. For the goodness sakes, people, we have lava-strewn ground by Celebration Park that is ag ground in this 2030 plan. That's an illustration of the extreme that some of this went to in their rush to get it done. And so I'm looking for a far, far better comprehensive plan than the document that we have available at the moment.
And we also want to make sure that we are able to address and include and implement, for example, the parks master plan into our overall county's comprehensive plan, so that then parks can do their work at the same time. And so we are supporting them in that regard.
And I'm hopeful, Chairman, that the scenic byway is also adopted, that we look at the MOU with Wildlife and what that urban refuge looks like. There's so many components with tentacles to what makes Canyon County unique that those things, in my humble opinion, need board attention to be able to incorporate that long-term into the comprehensive plan. The groundwork, the initial groundwork's been done, but there has to be some polishing on that for different reasons that I'm not going to talk about, but it does need attention because it works in tandem.
Again, for the public, Idaho has, for the 44 counties, we as Canyon County have over 60, close to 65 distinct political subdivisions. The closest next to that is 44 in Ada County. So we have a lot of special interests compared to any other county in the grand state of Idaho. So to believe that a comprehensive plan is a slam bam and we'll get it done really quick, no. To take into consideration several of these different special interests will take a little bit of time, and we're up to trying to do that to the best of our ability.
I would encourage the public to get involved.
Yes, I would encourage the public to be involved, absolutely.
That all said, what I believe our next steps are is we'll create a scope of work, and we'll bring that back for you all to review and make sure we are meeting your expectations from the get-go, so that we structure that scope of work appropriately to address everything we can imagine needs to be addressed in this regard before it hits the street. So stay tuned. It won't take that long.
Okay.
Awesome.
A couple, 3 weeks.
Okay.
Great job. And Chairman, I just want to say, I think that I'm really proud of the effort to get away from conducting the business of government, just because there might be intimidation or fear on certain sectors. Government shouldn't work that way. Sometimes it does work that way, but to move business forward in a way that serves the best interest of the people, I'm into that. And I think this board has been vested in creating an atmosphere that demonstrates that whether we're managing that or whether we're working with other elected officials to keep that goal in mind, it's still part of the trust in government that we've adopted that makes me proud to occupy this seat.
Thank you. All right. Anything else for today?
That's all we needed today, commissioners.
Thank you. Great job.
That was a lot.
So we'll cut off short, and you all can go about your busy schedules.
All right. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
All right.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.